This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals only. Hello and welcome to the sixth and final podcast in our series on diabetes care. I'm Professor Francesco Giorgino. I'm Professor of Endocrinology and Chairman of the Department of Precision and Regenerative Medicine and Ionian Area at the University of Bari Aldo Moro in Bari, Italy. This podcast is brought to you as part of Diabetes Knowledge into Practice. This is an educational activity and so is accredited for up to 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credits. You can claim your credits by answering the pre and post activity questions that are located at diabetes.knowledgeintopractice.com. If you're listening to this via a podcast app, there is a helpful link to the questions in the episode notes. This episode is supported by an educational grant from Novo Nordisk, who has no influence on the content or faculty. Now, people with type 2 diabetes have a 2 to 4-fold increased risk of developing cardiovascular disease compared to the general population. And in fact, atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, defined as coronary heart disease, cerebral vascular disease, or peripheral arterial disease of atherosclerotic origin, is the leading cause of morbidity and mortality for individuals with diabetes. Over 70% of people with type 2 diabetes die from cardiovascular disease, with females being at higher risk than males. The reality, though, is that many patients with diabetes are not aware that they are at an increased risk of cardiovascular disease, and many healthcare professionals still concentrate largely on just managing their high blood glucose. This is unfortunate because one of our primary aims when treating this patient population is to control that risk and prevent further macro and microvascular complications. And this requires acting as early as possible. Doing so, therefore, requires a personalized approach to patient care. But what exactly do we mean when we say this? And what are the benefits of taking such an approach? Here, to explore these questions and more with me, is Dr. Darren McGuire. Dr. McGuire is a general cardiologist in the Division of Cardiology at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center and has extensive expertise in large-scale cardiovascular outcome trials with a focus on diabetes and cardiovascular disease. He is the lead physician of the Parkland Health and Hospital System Cardiology Clinics in Dallas, Texas. You can find links to both of our disclosures, as well as any studies discussing in today's podcast in the episode notes. Dr. McGuire, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Francesco. It's good to be here.
Thank you. So before we touch on personalized care, could you give us a quick overview about which factors lead to type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease often occurring together?
Yeah, sure. So we've had an explosion of diabetes and with it the cardiovascular disease associated over the past 20 or 30 years. And it's largely been driven by physical inactivity and overweight and obesity. It's a lifestyle and behavioral scourge that is preventable, but is also treatable now. And with obesity and physical inactivity goes insulin resistance and hypertension and metabolic dyslipidemia, inflammation, and even proteinuria. And so all of these risk factors aggregate and increase the cardiovascular risk, and not just atherosclerotic cardiovascular risk, but also for heart failure, and of course, in diabetes, for kidney disease.
Thank you. That's very clear. So let's now move to management. Early risk assessment of patients is important to initiate therapeutic strategies that reduce both blood glucose levels and the cardiovascular risk. But what do we mean by early, and which assessments do you think are needed to assess the patient's risk of developing a cardiovascular event?
Well, I think we have to apply the same intensity of multifactorial risk factor monitoring and management as we focus on, as we do in our focus on glucose management. I think at least annually, every person with diabetes should have their blood pressure checked, their cholesterol checked, and their urine albumin checked. And all of those things contribute to risk models and risk prognostication. And each of them have a therapeutic imperative. And so high cholesterol should trigger early intervention. And for people with diabetes, that's typically more intense than the average person without diabetes. And so all of these factors aggregate. And so as soon as diabetes is diagnosed, in Texas, for example, we have more adolescents with type 2 diabetes now than we have with type 1. And so there are some very low risk people with type 2 diabetes, but still their risk factors should be surveyed, and when they're elevated, should be managed. We have a lot of evidence-based therapies for blood pressure, for cholesterol, and triggered by albuminuria.
Yes, so this applies like a general approach to any patient. But now today we are more and more keen to take a personalized approach to medicine. So in terms of prevention and treatment of cardiovascular disease in people with type 2 diabetes, what do you think a personalized approach should involve?
Yeah, I think there are really three factors. There's one is actually doing the risk modeling. We have several risk models specific to diabetes available. The most recent, the one I favor, is the SCORE 2 diabetes that was derived and calibrated across all of Europe. So figure out the 10-year risk for each individual and do that iteratively and use that risk assessment to inform the intensity of therapies. And then there's the personalization that comes with comorbidities that exist. So a person with overweight or obesity may preferentially be treated with an antihyperglycemic that induces weight loss, like a GLP-1 receptor agonist or even an SGLT2 inhibitor. In the presence of heart failure, prevalent heart failure, of course, we would reach for the SGLT2 inhibitors first. And with prevalent kidney disease, especially with albuminuria, SGLT2 inhibitors are preferred. But if a person cannot tolerate or the eGFR is too low, a GLP-1 receptor agonist there also has proven benefits. So we have a number of therapies. And then on top of that, of course, we have our cardiovascular therapies. So albuminuria should inform RAS inhibitor prescription independent of blood pressure. Now we have finerenone, the nonsteroidal mineralocorticoid antagonist with proven efficacy for cardiovascular risk reduction in persons with diabetes and albuminuric kidney disease. So we have a whole toolbox of therapies, not only that manage blood glucose, manage blood pressure, but importantly, modify cardiovascular risk and do so fairly soon after initiation and sustained improvements throughout treatment periods.
Thank you. That's very useful. And again, still discussing about a personalized approach. For example, you have already alluded to the use of SGLT2 inhibitors versus GLP-1 receptor agonist. But for example, if a patient has a previous MI, myocardial infarction, or a previous stroke, or peripheral arterial disease, you think this can impact the choice of diabetes treatment?
Yes, when we're talking specifically about antihyperglycemics, I participated in the European Society of Cardiology recent guidelines update for type 2 for diabetes. And we are very clear in that guideline. We think the data are sufficient now to recommend, in the presence of atherosclerosis and diabetes, recommend both an SGLT2 inhibitor and a GLP-1 receptor agonist for every patient who has access and can tolerate these medications. And that's independent of background use of metformin or any other antihyperglycemic, and it's independent of target A1C, and it's independent of the present A1C. And so these are glucose-independent decisions in a patient at sufficient risk. And we also, getting back to the SCORE2 diabetes risk model, there's a risk above which we would consider an MI equivalent. So if the 10-year risk is estimated to be 20% or higher, even without documented atherosclerosis, we think the same recommendations apply.
Thank you. And the final question is if there is any evidence that taking this kind of personalized approach to care in people with type 2 diabetes really impacts outcomes. What do you think? What can you say about that?
Well, there is, in at least I'm aware of two different arenas where we have some evidence that this multifactorial cardiovascular risk assessment and treatment is effective. We go all the way back to 2003 with the publication of the Steno 2 diabetes trial where they randomized persons to usual care versus multifactorial intensive risk intervention for cardiovascular risk, including blood pressure, cholesterol, treating albuminuria with RAS inhibitors and aspirin for primary prevention. And they showed substantial risk reductions at first report at 5 years, and then a passive 5-year additional follow-up where the curves continue to diverge, about a 50% reduction in major adverse cardiovascular risk. Now, it's a very small study, only 160 persons, and so it's a bit fragile of an estimate, but it's pretty compelling. And then fast forward, and now epidemiologically, I've had the privilege of working with the Swedish National Diabetes Registry, and we've published a series of papers about the epidemiology of current contemporary type 2 diabetes, at least in Sweden. And what we were able to find is looking at 7 common cardiovascular risk factors, counting them at or not at target. If you have all 7 at target, the diabetes incremental risk is unmeasurable. And so I think, you know, these are people at target that may be treated to target or may be at target de novo. So this isn't purely a treatment a message, but it does suggest that if we get rid of all of the background comorbidities and risk factors with diabetes, we can whittle away, if not completely, largely the cardiovascular risk associated.
Thank you very much, Darren, Dr. McGuire, for your excellent insights. So this brings us to the end of this episode, and you can find a link to the Diabetes Knowledge into Practice website in the episode notes. By using this link, you will be able to claim CME credits for this episode and find lots more free resources to support your learning in diabetes. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review or rating to help other people find the podcast. Now, this also brings us to an end of the podcast series on type 2 diabetes. It has been a real pleasure to be your host over the past few months and to have had the opportunity to discuss diabetes care with such knowledgeable and talented colleagues. If you haven't listened to the other episodes in the series, then please do check them out. Thank you very much again.